Now, a lot of interpretations have been offered to explain the so-called drunken assembly. And the most common was that this was an attack on the church. This was his rather playful way of saying that the church was a retrograde, traditional institution. Remember the role of the patriarch in turning the country back away from westernization during the time when his mother was basically ruling the country, that this was seen as a part of this move for westernization in a sort of carnivalesque way. No doubt this was part of the meaning of the assembly, but perhaps even more important in telling you something about how Peter as an individual ruled was the social function of the assembly. This was, in many ways, a lot of fun. This was a way to bring Peter and his men, and they were all men at this stage, together with sort of bonding, a sort of camaraderie among his associates, building up the ties to individuals that he would need in order to know whom to trust in reforming Russia. In other words, the assembly was a way through liquor and through jokes of uniting the men who would really lead the way in transforming Russia. Though the jokes and the iconoclasm still have to be considered as part of its meaning. Also has to be kept in mind in thinking about the way in which Peter's bringing of civilization was a little more complicated than it might seem at first glance. While Peter could be a pretty nice guy some of the time, he was often extremely violent, indeed quite cruel. He almost always carried a club, rather big, heavy club, and if he felt someone needed punishment for not pursuing his work the way it was expected, for not following his policies, for not being completely loyal, he would take the club and beat them. If they were a noble, if they were a friend, if they were a member of the court, when needed, he felt a good clubbing would be just the thing. Most important, and more politically significant than his tendency to clobber people, was brutal suppression of dissent. At the very start of his reign, a group of soldiers revolted, again, over the issue of which family would be in charge, this time an attempt to bring back Sophia's family to the throne. Peter had no hesitation in not only suppressing this rebellion, which was against him, but in brutally and violently publicly executing people in the main public squares of Moscow when, in order to draw attention to what he would not tolerate. He also was a man who loved war, and we'll talk about the importance of war more than once in this course as part of expanding the Russian Empire, of proving its greatness. But there's also, for many rulers, like Peter, pleasure. He personally commanded the army. He enjoyed battle, even if from a slight distance of a commander. He, in many ways, saw himself as a man of violence, as a royal warrior. Now, this brings me to Peter's reforms. Almost from the moment that Peter came to power, he showed himself to be an exceptionally energetic ruler. And in fact, even a very brief summary of his accomplishments is rather impressive. He continued territorial expansion through a variety of wars, most importantly with Sweden, with Charles XII. And as a result of these successes in war, he became renamed in 1721 as, in Russian, Imperator, as Emperor. Not just as Tsar, though he kept that title as well. This was more modern, more European, more clear that he was now in charge of an empire. He also got the name the Great for his military accomplishments of expanding the empire. In fact, almost his entire reign was taken up with war. There's only one year in the whole reign of Peter the Great where the country was not at war. And of course, the goal was partly expansion, but it was also to win respect for Russia as a great, mighty power, as an empire. And the needs of war, the needs of maintaining war throughout his reign, helped fuel many of his reforms, in particular the creation of a modern army, of a modern navy, but also many of his changes in government and society as well. For example, he sought to rationalize and centralize government administration. In the central administration, he decided that the old bureaucratic structure, however much in advance that might have seemed at one time, was not efficient enough. And he created a new, more Western-seeming system, partly interestingly adopted and borrowed from Charles XII's own government, the very government he fought against, and he knew how strong Charles was, so he thought the system made sense, and adopted a system of what were known as colleges, basically ministries, though run by a committee, that had very clear functions, the College of War, the College of Trade, the College of Mines and Manufacturing, for example.